been wet ever since.
We're in Philippians chapter 4. Where are you, Virginia? Philippians chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning, this week, and always. Lord, we thank you for the endless and infinite spiritual blessings that you've given to us in Christ, that you've put us, baptized us into our Savior. Lord, that you've made us one with you. We thank you, Father, for all that that means. We thank you for this book of Philippians, and we pray, as you're always faithful to do, that you would teach us. And Father, speak to our hearts, I pray, and give us a good understanding of the things that you have for us in your word. And we thank and praise you in our Savior's name. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read one verse, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right, now, we have been in this verse for a couple of weeks now, and we've talked about being careful for nothing and prayerful in everything. And we saw how that idea of in everything, prayer, that prayer ought to, prayer is not just something that we do kind of in addition to the other things. Everything, Paul says here, should be bathed, saturated in prayer. Everything that we do. So prayer is kind of one of those constants in the Christian life. We serve here, we do this, we're done doing that. Over here, but all things, everything, is done in the context of prayer and prayer as a conversation. So, what that comes down to, that in everything prayer is living, standing fast in chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God. And that's what prayer is. It's practicing the presence of God. It's not just something that I do sporadically or that I do from time to time. It's something that's continuous. We stand in the Lord. We stay in the Lord. And of course the Lord is in heaven, Paul's been telling us in this book, right? That's where we're looking for him from. He is in the presence of the Father. So as we stand in that position in Christ, we are standing in that spirit of prayer, in the abiding in the presence, the continual presence of God. So that's that idea of prayer in everything. And we've talked about that. We've talked about how that, what that is the alternative for us to carefulness, to worry. And that what we want to do is we want to be careful for nothing but prayerful prayer. In other words, we want to convert our care, our worries, into prayer. And said also that doesn't mean that we worry and pray. It doesn't mean that I take my worries and I continue to worry about them as I'm praying about them. You convert. You know what happened to you when you got converted? You became a new creature, right? You convert. convert your care into prayer. It becomes something else when you make that conversion. When you're careful enough, when you got converted, you didn't go away, you didn't cease to exist, right? Just like your cares. When you convert them to prayer, they don't go away. They just become a new creature. They become something different than what they were before. So it's a change. And what that change is it's taking those things with you into that presence, that union with God. And those things then become part of that divine conversation. And we talked that music of prayer and how that God lives and exists as essential being in harmony. God is not one person, God is three, and yet He is absolute one. See, that's harmony. That's perfect unison between the members of the Godhead. They can live in covenant to one another. There's that eternal dance that God exists and moves in. It's harmonious, it's rhythmic, it's melodic, it's song. Three things about the book of Psalms. It's the biggest book in the Bible. It's the prayer book of your Bible, and it's the song book of your Bible. So that idea of prayer being over and over again, Paul says first, I pray. First, I thank God for you all. He talks to Timothy, assembly in which you have. He says, first, I will that first of all, prayer is something that for all men. So you've got that, you know, that biggest book in your Bible. You ought to tell us something about prayer, the importance that it has, and the fact that it is in the form of song. When you're in the Lord, the Lord is part of that Trinity, of that divine harmony. When you're in that position in Christ, you are part of that. Called prayer. God telling you to pray, calling you to pray, is to that divine song. And that's what we do when we take those cares and those worries and those things and convert that to that. That's what prayer is. It's taking part in that divine interaction. Now, Paul, he's going to, and we'll get into verse 7, maybe, probably. He's going to name that music for us. He calls it a peace of God. It's that harmony. Perfect harmony and perfect melody. It's harmony is peace, rhythm is oneness, melody is joy. God exists in peace and in absolute oneness and in fullness of joy. at the end of this verse, verse 6, he talks about letting your request be made known unto God. Look back in chapter 1, Philippians. Remind ourselves of this introductory section here. Talks about making requests here in chapter 1, verse 3. You got the kind of greeting, the first two verses. Then immediately, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now, what happens when you take that approach, when you thank God and your prayer is made in thankfulness? You know, we get the idea sometimes that we're being selfish if we come to God with requests and want something for me, something I want to see done. And so I'll just, you know, praise God and thank Him and let Him, you know. Paul says, look, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? He wants to hear that. He wants those things that are on your heart. He wants that to be part of the song. Don't keep that your part of the song. He wants that. But those requests come in the context of this thanksgiving. And when they do, you're able to do what Paul does here, to make those requests with joy. See? Now, what's happening? Those requests are, they're those things that you were careful about. That's what the requests are. Right? But we've talked about be careful for nothing, so we've put that away. We have converted that care into prayer. And now, I think those things that used to be worry, now they're requests. And I can bring those things with joy now. Because it's faith in that song of thanksgiving. So, we want to let the question of God. And we want to do this in the form of, Paul says in our verse, supplication. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So it's not just, I have a request, Lord, this happens to be my request. It's not just letting God know what your requests are. It's thanksgiving. It's supplication. I want you to see that here, because we've been talking about this conversation. We've been talking about prayer is not just about asking God for things. But it does include that. Okay? Don't get the idea that, especially us grace folk, we focus on the spiritual as well as we should. And let me tell you, where's Paul? When you want to pray, Paul in prayer. There's over 30 prayers plus Paul in his presence. And they are overwhelming spiritually for him. Not exclusively, but overwhelming. So, if we're going to call me where we want to have that perspective, you have that perspective by rejoicing in the Lord. By taking those earthly things and making them part of that divine fellowship that you have with God. Those things suddenly become spiritual issues. And so by the time I'm in the presence of God, those things that are in my brain about those things, that conversion has already taken place. That doesn't mean that we don't ask God for things. Paul is telling us here, let your requests be made known to God and do it by supplication. That is, by petition. You're asking, Lord, please give me that. In whatever form, words that comes out, that's what you're requesting. So don't get the idea, and don't let me give you the idea, because my emphasis in prayer is definitely on the spiritual. I hesitate to pray. My personal tendency is to pray about physical things and to pray for spiritual things. But here Paul is in this passage tells us to take those cares, those requests at the bottom of the verse, are those cares at the top of the verse converted? Those are spiritual and physical. Made known unto God. So let's talk about how this works. I want to get into a little bit of the kind of mechanics, the working of prayer. Come with me to Ephesians and chapter 2. What happens? What's happening when we pray? What are we doing? What is God doing? What happens between what we're doing? Ephesians chapter 2. Because we're talking about making requests, right? So you're expecting something to happen. Right? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just get the verse. Verse 18. For through Him, that is through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We saw last week in chapter 5 of Ephesians how that Paul tells us we not only have one Spirit access, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing Lord. So we talked about that in that context of music and that continual prayer. Having that prayer stick and kind of run even when you're not thinking about it. See, that's the music of prayer. Praying without ceasing. And we notice in that passage that the Trinity is involved. Take a look at this, just a page over. Chapter 5. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And what happens when we're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the Trinity. I'm in prayer. I'm filled with the Spirit. I give thanks to the Father through, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in that verse we just looked at in chapter 2, Paul says we have access to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we have access through Jesus Christ unto the Father. So that's the working of the Godhead in prayer. It's by the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. Prayer in the Bible is almost exclusively directed to the Father. Not exclusively. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I thank Jesus Christ, my Lord, who hath counted me faithful for putting me into the ministry. That's the only occasion that I know of. There's probably another. But almost exclusively, prayer is to the Father. And again, the idea there is that in that working of God, it's the Father that initiates. The Son and the Spirit respond. So we make our prayer to the Father. Look back in chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would, now what's Paul going to pray for? He's praying to the Father, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And he goes on there. Again, we see the Godhead involved there. God is praying to the Father that the working of the Spirit and of Christ would be made full and manifest in our lives. So, praying to the Father through the Son. We just saw Paul say, giving thanks for all things in the name of him. Right? So we pray at the end of every prayer, we say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's not just some formula, some thing you say. You understand what you're praying. That is above every name, that at the name of Jesus and the nation of God. We pray in the name of Christ. You are in that position. You are taking, standing in the Lord. Prayer won't necessarily lead you to study your Bible. That is, there are people all over the world that have every religion and every culture and every philosophy that pray. Everybody prays in one way, shape, or form. It doesn't lead everybody to study the Bible. Right? The Bible leads to prayer. Because it tells you to do. Prayer won't necessarily lead you to the Word of God. So, in that, the Word of God takes precedence. But that being in Christ and speaking with the Father from that position, is that divine conversation? So you want to think about that. It's a divine conversation. It's not just me having a conversation with the divine. It's me in Christ taking part in that divine conversation. In that interaction. In that music. So that's, we pray to the Father through the Son. And we do that by the Spirit. So the Spirit is the kind of activating power that connects us to God, right? Without the Holy Spirit, we would have no God. We communicate with God and He with us through Spirit. Through His Spirit in us. Look in Romans chapter 8. See how God works, moves, lives, creates. Is this exact same way? He does everything. Everything is by the Spirit and through the Son. So, prayer is a part of that. It's a part of that movement of God. When I make a request of God, I'm not so much asking God to move as I am joining with Him in His movement. Romans chapter 8. Paul's talking about suffering and cursed creation and all those wonderful things that we know are. And he says in verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So the Spirit, first thing that Paul says there, verse 26, is the Spirit helps our infirmities. Now, what Paul is talking about in the passage, look back just a few verses before, in verse 18, he's talking about the Spirit, and we'll back up and let's get those verses. Verse 15, he's talking about being led by the Spirit of God. "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of His Son. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then he goes on and he talks about that creation that has been knocked out of tune, right? So God is retuning the instrument here, and he's restoring that creation, and he starts that. He's beginning that with you and me. He says here that you and I, verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. So we've got the first fruits of the Spirit. God is restoring this creation by His Spirit through His Son unto Himself. And you and I are the first fruits of that. We're the beginnings of that. So, the Spirit here, you see what Paul says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says we groan and travail within ourselves, waiting for that adoption. And verse 24, we're saved by hope. And so, that those groanings and those sufferings, those physical infirmities that we have in our bodies and in our circumstances, we suffer with those things in this dispensation. It's not like when the Lord was here and just lay a hand on you and take your infirmities away. Because our infirmities were before us now, Paul says, a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The sufferings of this life work for us. So when he says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What is the Spirit doing? Is he taking our infirmities away? No, he's doing what Paul says he's doing. He's helping them. The Spirit is helping our infirmities. Well, what's He helping them to do? He's helping them to work for us that far more exceeding and eternal. What the Spirit is doing here is He's taking those cares, those worries, those anxieties. You've taken that by the Spirit through the Son to the Father. And those things are converted. And now, the Spirit is helping them to do what they're designed to do in our life. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And I've purposely saved dispensational issues in this consideration of prayer here, because the next verse is the opportunity to talk about a lot of that, but that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. That's not how it was in those kingdom seconds. But the Lord told them, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe it, you shall receive. Right? That's not true for you and me. What a mess it would be. See, those people knew what to pray for. They had that gift of the Spirit to be able to get that divine revelation from God. Lord, what should be done? What should happen in this situation? And they would tell them. They would pray that, and He would do it. What a disaster it would be for God to give a promise like that to a bunch of people like us who don't know what we should pray for as we are. Anything you ask in prayer, believe it, you'll receive. And we have no idea what we should pray for. Well, that wouldn't work at all. Look, you're looking for an answer for every prayer. Okay? As a member of the body of Christ. So you don't want to get the idea that you're missing something. These people had these promises. Whatever you ask in prayer, we got the eyes for prayer. Whatever you ask in prayer, That'll do it for you. Just snap your fingers and make it so. The Spirit helps our infirmities, and we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, here, hold your hand here and come with me to Acts chapter 2. So the Spirit is interceding on our behalf. That is, when you pray, the Spirit of God prays within you. And the Spirit of God is praying with you. That is, He that searcheth the hearts. So God is searching your heart. He knows what all those former cares are, now requests, right? He knows what all that is. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, where those kingdom saints there at Pentecost had that consciously, that they knew the will of God because the Spirit sent it to them. You and I have it by faith. That is, we don't hear it, but we know it. So we walk by faith and not by sight. But the Spirit is doing essentially the same thing. He is praying. He's taking our prayers and he's adding into that divine conversation. So, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's kind of the working of the Holy Spirit. And those guys, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. In our passage here in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is not, people will take this passage and they'll make it speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not groanings which cannot be uttered, which cannot be understood, but it's not groanings which cannot be uttered. The whole idea of speaking in tongues, Spirit gave utterance, right? So that's not bad. This is the second intercession of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be connected with God in the context of your prayer, your requests, and the things that you would have God to know and to help you with. All of that is by the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. And like our life should be bathed in prayer, and our prayer should be bathed Thanksgiving, that whole process is bathed in the presence and moving and working of God. It's by the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. It's divine in its entirety. And your call to prayer is your invitation to join God in that. In that conversation, in that fellowship, with melody, peace, oneness, joy, that music. first, right? Before you could come to God, you got to get converted. You got to become a new creature. So all those cares and those worries, we don't worry and pray. We convert. The worries become a new creature. We convert the worry to prayer. Prayer is the alternative. Instead of this, we do this. And that's what that is. We're taking the presence of God, like the Holy Spirit, being down in you, into the presence of God, and joining Him in that divine conversation about the things that He would like to see, your requests. Paul says, I make my requests with joy. I don't make my requests from a place of lack. I make my requests with joy because my requests are out of that. And I'm out of time. Do you have a comment or a question? Yeah. For Star Trek. Yeah, Brady.
I'm the fashion, like you said, that is Troy at Durham. I remember I had brought this up before. I was looking at First Chronicles 14, like the very initial point under the law of Moses and what they gave to the name.
Yeah.
He wasn't praying in the name of Jesus. He was praying straight to the Father, you know, because the Holy Spirit was sent, because Christ had died, you know. He was praying in the Lord how he was taught. And, but he still asked him that, he said, large my coast, that your hand may be with me, that it won't grieve me, that it won't harm come. He was still asking him to bless it and make sure that Satan don't get it to eat it up before he put it in the ground.
And God granted his request.
God granted his request.
Absolutely.
You go to Philippians 4:19, Paul used the same thing, but he put it in this dispensation. He said, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's coming without all the strings and hunger.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a fulfillment of suit, but for us, without the law.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It is, prayer is as a dispensational as an issue and a subject as is anything else, and possibly more so because it kind of really hits home for us, so like other things may not do. And we'll talk about some of that, but you're absolutely right. It's the principles are the same.
Are the same.
Yeah.